The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
One and all, happy Saturday and happy President's Day weekend. Jimmy Sengenberger here with you once again, 6 to 9 right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. And then on President's Day itself, I will be back here as I fill in for Stephen Tubbs this coming Monday from 3 to 7 in the afternoon. You do not want to miss it coming up here. Again, on News Talk 710 KNUS, the next 3 hours with the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, and then 4 hours Monday afternoon as we are revved up and ready to go with this weekend. If you have the opportunity to enjoy a long weekend, thanks for kicking it off with us today. We will be talking a little bit about some words of caution for regulation of big tech in the face of social media censorship and the push for more social media censorship laws, or even things like the Biden administration, which are calls for more censorship, for sifting through material that may or may not fit the prevailing narrative and saying, well, if it doesn't, then you got to flag it. Flag it as misinformation. Flag it as disinformation. Kick the person off of their platform if it's maybe, say, Joe Rogan. What are the potential implications of that? Steve Del Bianco will join me. He's president and CEO for NetChoice, will join us in the next segment to break down some perspective on that. Coming up as well in the next hour, I will be joined by Chris Barnard. He is with the American Conservation Coalition, which is an organization of young center-right activists who are concerned about the environment, environmental conservation. I think they do brilliant work at ACC. And we're going to talk about a bill that was actually decent legislation in the legislature, something good, particularly as it relates to energy and the environment. Senator Bob Rankin and Representative Hugh McKean were both spearheading a study they wanted to have commissioned by the Office of Economic Development to look into using small modular nuclear reactors as a carbon-free energy source that would contribute to the state's goal of reducing overall carbon emissions. Since Polis has set this guideline, hey, we want to reduce our emissions dramatically, get to net zero by this time period, or whatever his ridiculous standard is, why don't we work towards that by empowering more nuclear power here in Colorado, which we know is safe and clean? This was Senate Bill 22073. And lo and behold, it was killed in the Democrat-controlled state senate's State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee in a 3-2 party line vote. What would this bill have done? What are the virtues of nuclear energy? And I'm kind of scratching my head wondering, why isn't the left, that claims that we should all be concerned about reducing emissions into the atmosphere, especially carbon emissions, why don't they want nuclear power? The cleanest kind of fuel that you can find, the cleanest way to power homes and buildings around 24/7, 365, when it's always on. Why don't they support that? It's a head scratcher, isn't it? We'll talk about it coming up as well in the next hour here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Plus, I was the first to talk right here on 710 KNUS, and then I did a expose column on it on Wednesday about some breaking news this week in the saga of Denver Public Schools board member. And I guess I elevated him from Stefan's place as Colorado's biggest racist, Tay Anderson, to America's biggest racist, Tay Anderson. But nevertheless, I have an update on the Tay Anderson saga, where on Monday, a judge ruled that the redacted portions of a report that was released last September on the investigation into allegations of sexual misconduct and more by Tay Anderson. Again, that was released last September. Judge just ruled on the redacted portions, saying, no, they cannot be disclosed. Denver Public Schools cannot disclose to a couple of media outlets that wanted it disclosed. And I think rightfully so. And I think the whole report should be made public by Tay Anderson himself, especially now that DPS is forbidden from releasing the full unredacted report, even redacting still for names of witnesses or alleged victims. We'll break down what's going on there. And also this Mickey Mouse kind of Facebook post from Tay Anderson's lawyer on Monday. You don't want to miss that. That'll be coming up later on in the program as well. And of course, if you want to be a part of the festivities, 303-696-1971 is our telephone number to do just that. You can also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone. If you don't have the app, what are you doing? Go ahead and get that. It's free. It's easy to download, and you can, oh, you can send me nice, kind messages, or you can tear me to shreds, and I can decide whether I want to share it on air or not. Isn't that fun? Plus, you can tweet at me 24/7, 365, and I can't control what you say and whether that is displayed on Twitter, at Sang Center. That's Sang with an E, not an A, Center. You can go ahead and tweet at me there. And, of course, my email, a couple ways to email me, 710knus.com. You go to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show page. Right away, you can shoot me an email from there. You can also access podcasts for the show. And, of course, there's my website, jimmysengenberger.com, with a contact form there. Keep in mind, there's no A, I, or U in Sengenberger. It's all E's all the time. Once you know that, Sengenberger is easy. So lots of ways to get in touch with us. Of course, 303-696-1971, our telephone number to get on the air. We will have ample opportunity for some conversations with you today. Oh, and of course, in the third hour of the program, we will spend a good chunk of time talking about the latest in Canada, what's been happening in Ottawa. I'll give some perspective on that. We'll take your calls. We've got a fun segment that we will have in that third hour as well. That, let me just tell you, it should be entertaining. So you will not want to miss that. So this is something, I don't even know what she was doing. This is totally out of context for me. My guess is she was promoting rural broadband or some broadband expansion that we need, supposedly run by the federal government through like Build Back Better, really more aptly named Build Back Broke. But Kamala Harris, cringy Kamala, was giving a speech this week, and I'm probably playing a longer clip than I should, but we might as well start off by just astonishing ourselves at the absurdity of cringy Kamala trying to explain the significance of the internet to the day in and day out life of the average American as unveiled throughout this pandemic.
You see, during the pandemic, millions of people, families in particular, depended on high-speed internet. Young people used the internet to access digital textbooks, attend virtual classes, and collaborate on science projects, all at their kitchen table. Parents used the internet to buy groceries, paper towels, and other daily essentials. The internet allowed folks to take care of their children and get their essential needs accomplished.
Huh.
Business owners, like the one I met from Missouri last year, rely on the internet to coordinate with suppliers overseas.
Do they really?
Many workers use the internet to do their jobs virtually. People everywhere use high-speed internet to stream movies for family movie night. Jaleesa talked about that. To video chat with friends that are far away.
Go figure.
To view a tutorial on how to fix that leaky faucet. To read the news, check the weather, or plan a trip.
Oh my gosh, who knew?
For so many of us, we use the internet as an essential
thing.
And integrated
magical
part of our
internet.
Daily lives.
I don't know where you magic pixies came from, but I sure like your magic pixie dust.
She's talking something magical, right? This mystical internet. Who knew that people would go online and they would buy cleaning supplies, or they would have schooling, or they would communicate with their fellow workers? Because guess what? The government shut everything down, and the internet proved to be the necessary means of getting through the government shutdowns that we have endured, the lockdowns, the restrictions, the remote learning that forced kids into insufferable academic and social circumstances. Who knew? It literally, listening to her say all of that, it's like, okay, you are the vice president of the United States who was a United States senator. I'm guessing you just educated yourself on what the average American has had to endure throughout that time in a way you haven't had to endure up in your ivory tower of the White House, of the U.S. Capitol. It is astonishing. Is that a serious clip? Yes, it is. Believe it or not. And of course, she ignores the government's role, the all-knowing, all-powerful governments across this country and across the globe in forcing people into these horrible circumstances where they had no choice but to access the internet in ways they never had before. And the harm of that kind of decision by our overlords is considerable, including among kids, when it came to remote learning, and then its extension, the next step of remote learning, the mask wearing. We need to force all these kids into masks because otherwise we might have a little bit of COVID spread in schools. And never mind the fact that every loss of every child is tragic, but we've had very few children who have died because of COVID-19 and yet went overboard in these policies that absolutely irrevocably damaged the lives of kids. And here is congressional testimony of a psychiatrist named Eleanor McCants-Katz testifying in Congress about the impact of these masking mandates on young kids with their verbal, motor, and overall cognitive deficits.
But isn't it also true that it affects their ability on verbal skills and motor skills and overall cognitive skills when the people that they're with a big part of the day are masked?
It's a concern. There is emerging research that indicates that children born during the course of the pandemic, when compared to children born earlier, have those kinds of deficits, and it's something that I think is not fully understood and and the literature is young, but we need to pay attention to that. It could very well be something to be concerned about.
Or we could just go ahead and listen to this young girl.
Pressure is mounting on school boards to lift mask mandates for kids.
I'm begging you to please make masking optional.
Listen to the kids there. As we should have done, as they've been crying out throughout the course of this atrocity known as government overreach. I'm Jimmy Sangenberger. We're just getting started. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll talk about what's happening in terms of social media censorship and the prospect for new laws to try and address this issue. Keep it right here. We're just getting started right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. You can do what you please, but you can get what you deserve. Little Derek Trucks bringing us back. First bumper of the morning right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Of course, Derek Trucks was in the Allman Brothers Band, by far the youngest member ever to have joined the band. He was a teenager, I think, when he did so back in the 90s. Amazing, one of the greatest slide guitar players ever to live. Very much carrying on the life and legacy in many respects, in the sense of that slide guitar, even though it's a different style, but the life and legacy carried on of the great, late, legendary Dwayne Allman. And I think sometimes you can do what you want, but you get what you deserve. That may be a consequence when you have policies that you think are put in place for the benefit of free speech, for the benefit of protecting conservatives from tech censorship and so forth. But maybe there are some consequences that will end up happening. Some things that you deserve as a result of that you never really foresaw. That's a big concern that I have of the push, the ongoing push now in a number of different states across the country to put into place more regulations of the tech space to address something that I do think is a problem, which is social media censorship, particularly of conservatives. But then when you juxtapose that with calls from the all-knowing, all-powerful federal government for additional censorship for the good of the American people, I get a little more concerned. Take a listen, just as an example, to the White House press secretary.
In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken, or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical professionals to connect to connected medical experts who are popular with their audiences with accurate information and boost trusted content. So we're helping get trusted content out there. Our hope is that all major tech platforms and all major news sources, for that matter, be responsible and be vigilant to ensure the American people have access to accurate information on something as significant as COVID-19. That certainly includes Spotify. So this disclaimer, it's a positive step, but we want every platform to continue doing more to call out mis and disinformation while also uplifting accurate information. It's a positive step, but there's more that can be done.
That's the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But what happens when the power of force gets exerted? Let's talk about this with Steve DelBianco. He is president and CEO for NetChoice, which is an industry group, and he joins me now. Good morning, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Jimmy. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you on, especially at this moment where there is a natural inclination from conservatives like you and me to say, you know, there's this censorship that's going on. We're feeling like conservatives are under siege online. But is government the right approach to addressing any concerns in that regard? I'll just throw it to you for sort of a top line perspective, and then we'll dig into what's happening in some states across the country, implications and so forth.
Yeah, the clip you played was from Jen Psaki, White House press secretary. And I need to get a hold of her. I live in Washington, D.C., Jimmy. So I'm going to walk over to the White House Monday morning, and I'm going to hand her a copy of the U.S. Constitution. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting or abridging the freedom of speech or the press. So it starts with the word Congress shall make no law, and that applies to the government, state and federal. She needs to understand that the government cannot force people to say things or take down things that they've said. They can't force KNUS to take down certain guests or to carry content to counter disinformation. They can't force social media sites to take down content or to put content up that they don't want to carry. So the First Amendment protects us from the government, Jimmy. It doesn't protect the government from us. There's a complete misunderstanding there, and that's why what we have done over and over again at NetChoice, and again, I'm a trade association of the tech companies, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Google, Twitter, and we just try to make sure that the internet is a safe place for free enterprise and free expression. But remember this, that Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, they are running a private platform, happens to be free because advertisers are paying for it. And those platforms are going to be very careful to keep their audience happy and to keep their advertisers happy. Because, Jimmy, if the content that's on there is protected by the First Amendment, but really awful, if it's hate speech, pornography, nudity, racial hatred, that kind of stuff is going to really turn off the advertisers and a huge chunk of the audience. So those platforms are not going to tolerate it. I don't know why that's a surprise to anyone, but they have the right to decide which content they'd like to carry, and the government cannot force them to carry content or take it down.
So what do you say, though, to conservatives who will push back and say, you know, I keep noticing that things, look, I see things online that are flagged as misinformation on Facebook or other tech platforms where I'm just struggling to understand why in the world is this meme being flagged as misinformation or something along those lines. So there are conservatives who, and we'll get to the government idea of the supposed government solution in just a moment, but there are conservatives who say, look, we have a problem with these big tech platforms and we don't feel like they're hearing us and they're going beyond the idea of quelching hate speech or something along those lines, and they're going into a territory that is much more, let's determine what's right and what's acceptable as far as political views to have. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I agree, because I'm mystified sometimes by the way in which Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube apply their rules and their community standards. When you read the community standards, Jimmy, they make complete sense. They want to try to cater to the audience. They want to keep advertisers happy. They don't want to have the content that would endanger people's health and safety, right? So I get it. But the way they apply it, it often is mystifying, because they'll restrict or flag content of one particular post, and then they don't flag something else. So I'm always scratching my head about it, but I want you to remember this. I mean, I was doing door-to-door canvassing for Nixon in the 70s and Reagan in the 80s, and I was trying to find members of the silent majority, conservatives in America. There was no other way than going door-to-door or jumping on the telephone to try to find people around the country or across town. But now, because of social media, you and I can share news and views with our politically conservative friends and contacts all over the country. But we can also reach moderates and independents on things like Facebook and Twitter. It's not just speaking to the campaign crowd, but we're able to change minds that way. And that kind of reach was impossible before social media. So look, I get that you and I and others are upset for often the way the rules are enforced, but we have to remember that social media is the best tool conservatives have ever had. Trump has often said that without Twitter and Facebook, there's no way he'd have won the election in 2016. And I think he realized that Donald Trump is launching a new social media network. He's calling it Truth Social, and it should be launched later in February or March. And it will probably have 70 million people, right? Those who voted for Trump are going to join that social media network. And he's already declared he's going to moderate content. They want it to be a family-friendly place. So they're going to take content down, and they're going to make up the rules as they go. Because why? Because they can. That's their right to do that, just like it's your right to decide who to have on your show and when to cut them off.
And I was just about to cut you off, Steve Del Bianco, but you beat me to the punch. Well done again, President and CEO for NetChoice. Just one other question that I think kind of helped set the stage a little bit. We hear this discussion about Section 230 and platforms versus publishers. And when you have a tech company like, say, a Facebook or a Twitter, or you get into Google, especially with YouTube and so forth, where they are often moderating content at a very micro level, that crosses the line from what is thought of as a platform into being a publisher because they are making more micro decisions. How about that aspect of this? Because I do think that when you're getting into that realm, it raises more legitimate questions for folks about, well, okay, you don't want to be regulated more yet. At the same time, you're acting like a publisher and deciding who may be allowed or not allowed based on their content and what they're trying to say.
Jimmy, this Section 230 has nothing to do with regulation. It's supposed to stop lawsuit abuse. It's about lawsuit abuse. That if somebody says something on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube that is defamatory and someone else wants to sue, they can sue the person that said it, but they can't sue Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube because they didn't say the words.
Right.
So it stops lawsuit abuse. It's not regulation at all. And it doesn't really make a distinction between platform and publisher. That's something that happens in the instant. The Denver Post, New York Times, they are publishers of news that they have paid people to write. Oh, but then there's comments sections. There's comments section on those papers, and good gosh, don't ever read the comments. They're awful. But when people put things in the comments, they can't get sued. The New York Times and Denver Post don't get sued for defamation in the comments, but they can be sued if their writers or editors say defamatory things in the actual newspaper. Well, the same thing happens at Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. If Facebook puts up a fact check or a disinformation post, then that flag is Facebook's own content, and they can be sued for that if the disinformation flag somehow defames the person that put it up. But for the content that you and I put up on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, you and I can get sued for that, but you can't sue the platform who just simply took our words and put them on the page.
So if that's the case, why do we hear a lot of folks say, hey, this Section 230 provides a shield for big tech that enables them to go after conservatives in these visceral ways?
Well, it isn't true, but it's fun to say it. But remember why we have Section 230. Did you ever see The Wolf of Wall Street, the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes.
That's a true story. Mm-hmm. That's a true story. Seriously. So in mid-80s, DiCaprio's character was Jordan Belfort. They were defrauding investors. And when those investors went on Prodigy, which was a bulletin board service that I used to use, when those investors went on to warn other investors to stay away from his company, what did he do? He sued. He sued Prodigy because investors were telling people to stay away. Well, a judge in New York said Prodigy was liable for things that people said because Prodigy did some content moderation. And that's what motivated the law called Section 230. It says, wait a minute, you can't sue Prodigy for things that other people said on the platform. Mm-hmm. So look, if 230 went away, it doesn't change very much because you can't sue a platform for taking you down since they have a First Amendment right to do that. And think about this. The Republicans want to use 230 as leverage. They want to threaten to take it away if platforms don't reduce the content moderation. What do Democrats say? The opposite. They are saying that we're going to use Section 230.
They want
exactly.
more.
Exactly. What did you play from Jen Psaki? Exactly. So those two things kind of cancel out in Washington, D.C., but they don't cancel out in the states. See, the states go their own way.
That's right. And, of course, the U.S. Surgeon General is out there saying, oh, we need more big tech and government censorship of people like Joe Rogan, putting their thumb on the scale. And then if you say, want to empower the all-knowing, all-powerful government agencies across the country or legislatures or Congress to make those determinations and enforce some kind of censorship regime, or maybe your goal isn't that, but that ends up being the end result, well, then you're in for a world of hurt. We're talking with Steve Del Bianco, president and CEO for NetChoice. So let's get to what's happening in that regard in states across the country. We're looking at Kentucky and California, Utah, Iowa, Georgia, Tennessee, South Carolina. A lot of Republican states in particular, they are introducing or have introduced legislation to add more regulations onto the big tech platforms. What writ large are they proposing, generally speaking, and what are the potential implications of that?
Jimmy, the Republican states introducing laws that would force social media to keep content up, even if the social media site said that content violates my guidelines. So there's plenty of legal let's say, lawful but awful content. I talked earlier about profanity and nudity, hate speech, discrimination. All of that is legal in America. And these laws would say that if it's legal, you have to leave it up. And two states, Florida and Texas, led the way last year, 2021. They enacted laws. And my group, NetChoice, sued the states of Florida and Texas. And immediately, federal courts gave us an injunction. In other words, they told the states, you can't enforce these laws because they're unconstitutional. They violate the First Amendment. The First Amendment says Congress, and that includes states, cannot force a private company to carry speech it doesn't want to carry. These were slam dunk cases. Now, those governors in Florida and Texas are appealing because they'd love to keep this in the news as long as they can, since it actually shows that they're standing up for conservatives. But I don't see how it helps conservatives to invite big government to come in and replace big tech, because our lawsuits against those two states are only the beginning. Remember that California, New York, those are blue states. So, Jimmy, when they enact these kind of laws, they're doing it so they can force social media to take down what they think is disinformation with respect to elections or disinformation about COVID reactions and lockdown.
Yeah, one thing, Steve, that strikes at me is that we're talking about putting in big government with its power of force. I mean, yeah, in many respects, industries may you may need to be on Facebook or Twitter because that's the platform. Those are the platforms where everybody is at for a particular content or so that you could promote your product or service or what have you. But really, you are not forced. Nobody is forcing you to do this or that. But when government actually comes in and says, we know what's best and we want you to carry this or to remove this or what have you, then you have the power of force that is in play in a different kind of way.
No, you're so right. And the right way that a business and an individual can exercise their choice is to move to a different platform. Remember, there's no barriers to entry to set up a social media platform. So you and I can join Parler, Gab, Getter, Rumble. We can join Trump's new Truth Social when it comes out. We can be on multiple platforms. We may not have all of our high school and college friends moving over to Trump's platform, in which case maybe we'll stay on Facebook to reach them. But we can pick and choose social media platforms that exercise their content moderation in different ways.
Well, but
that's the competition of the marketplace.
Although Steve, one might say, but wait, you mentioned Parler. Parler was kicked off of the hosting and so forth by Amazon, Apple, others, so that they couldn't get access from consumers. They made those companies, the big tech companies, including the folks I mentioned who are members of NetChoice, they are association members of NetChoice. They prevented Parler from being of consumers from being able to access Parler. What do you say to that criticism? Because that's, I think, a valid point.
Well, all of the companies that you just mentioned came to the conclusion on January the 6th that Parler had violated their terms of service, that Parler broke its contract. And that's why Parler wasn't in the App Store. The Parler website never went down, but Amazon Web Services stopped supporting the back end. But I was a Parler user, and I was pretty disgusted about a lot of things that I saw from on all the social media platforms on January the 6th. But look, it's their right as platforms to take down a customer that's violating the terms of service. Parler sued right away, Jimmy. They sued in California court, and the judge immediately said that Parler and Amazon had a difference of opinion on the terms of service, but it's a contract matter. Mm-hmm. They're allowed to kick them off. Now, Parler has come back in a very different way, right? They're on a set of infrastructure providers that are staffed by and owned by conservatives who will not bow to the woke mob and the pressure the next time around. Trump's new Truth Social, Jimmy, will be hosted at RightForge. So that's a company that's insulated mm-hmm. from woke pressure so that they're not going to take that site down.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that the free market brings about is greater creativity and ingenuity, leading to alternatives for people who are looking to access content and so much more. We could continue this conversation at length. I'm sure, Steve Del Bianco, that we can have another one down the line. Again, president and CEO for NetChoice, but we're out of time now. Thank you so much for the conversation this morning. Some interesting insights today.
Hey, I really enjoyed it. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you again. Steve Del Bianco joining us from NetChoice. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back with so much more right here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Coming back on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, best damn bumper music known to man, 8.5 years running, News Talk 710 KNUS. A little more Derek Trucks on the slide guitar there. Drown in My Own Tears. I think that was actually the Derek Trucks band with Greg Allman, and not, it wasn't the Allman Brothers. I think it was the Derek Trucks band with Greg Allman. May he rest in peace. What a beautiful tune as well. Good to be with you here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Look, my natural inclination whenever I look at something, whenever I look at a policy issue, an action that supposedly is the solution to the problem, we need government to step in and stop big tech censorship of conservatives. As one example, a la the last segment with, yes, an industry representative. And I hear that, and my first inclination is, I get what you're saying. I really do, because I'm sick and tired of this. It makes no sense. They're definitely targeting conservatives and targeting, I mean, a lot of times we see information that is put out there, like on, say, masking kids, the harm of masking kids, or Wuhan being the origin of the coronavirus, and there's a theory that it came originally from a lab. I was on YouTube on my web show that I do in partnership with the Washington Examiner, Jimmy at the Crossroads, in spring of 2020. On YouTube talking about that. Now, I don't think, knock on wood, that my videos were taken down and flagged as disinformation, but many people sharing that theory, which has borne out, I think, to be as close to true as we can get from any of the facts that we know at this point. And even getting mainstream, where Jon Stewart goes on with Stephen Colbert last year, if you remember. And Stewart was like, wow, like, you know, I think it came from a lab. But that kind of thing was flagged as disinformation or misinformation, and you might have had posts taken down or users removed or suspended for a time. So I get it. But the other piece to my natural inclination, and I usually hold to my instincts unless I really am proven or feel like I'm proven otherwise, and I don't feel like I have been on this, is more government the solution? And not so sure about that, because it is government force, presuming that it knows what is best. And we may put in a law that is designed to help protect conservatives and conservative speech, but then that all-knowing, all-powerful government uses those same tools against conservatives. Ronald Reagan said government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. And when it comes to tech right now, and a lot of this preventing of content, I mean, you got people like Jen Psaki.
In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken, or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical professionals to connect to connected medical experts who are popular with their audiences with accurate information and boost trusted content.
They want big tech to boost their trusted content, and their flagging posts should be the posts that they flag should be taken down. That's just a wink and a nudge. That's the threat of more regulation. Imagine when you give the government the keys to the car to decide what content is or isn't allowed on the road. Not a great analogy, but you get the point. What do you think? You on board with me or otherwise? We'll talk about this and the environment in the next hour. Chris Barnard of the ACC up next. Stay with us.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.